loves, and welcome back to the Mood Lab. I am so happy to, have you back here once again and have you listening. I'm so excited to share today's episode with you. I feel like that one is so interesting because when I first reached out to today's guest, Rachel Pringle-Erb, that was so many months ago, and we took some time until our schedules lined up and we were able to record together, which came to be at the end of last year, kind of beginning of December, so not exactly right at the end, but almost. And it was so interesting for me to reflect as well. I mean, you by now all know my journey and my journey to faith and to God. And in that regard, I think I'm not really sure what Rachel would say exactly, but I think we do differ a bit in our faith and our wording, our language. However, I must say, on my personal journey and also on the journey to my feminine and exploring my feminine and understanding my femininity better, Rachel definitely had an impact and her work did. I do feel like she does such beautiful work, which is so soul-soothing and comforting. And I also just so appreciate her sharing her relationship with her husband and the work that she does in the relationship field in order for others to be able to create healthier relationships as well, for all of us to relate more consciously with each other, more openly, more honestly. And also what she always puts into her work as well is using conflict as a chance for an even deeper bond. And I think there is so much power and so much beauty in that. So in this episode, we really talked about all of that. We talked about choosing to stay open even when we want to close because of past experiences. And we also talk about what is needed to trust deeper and to surrender deeper. So that is basically what this episode is about. And even though we surely differ in many ways, in the ways that we see this world, see faith, and relate to a higher power, and for me, obviously God, we still agree upon so much when it comes to relationships. And so I am so excited to share this conversation with you because I find this conversation so wholesome. I can relate to it so much. I find it such an important conversation to have because talking about the things like intimacy and our bodies and relating to one another is the groundwork that we are doing on this earth, because this is literally what we're here for. I mean, I've mentioned this a couple of times, but community is so important, relationships are so important, and in community, in relationships, what do? We relate. So how do we do that? How do we surrender to the relationships that we have and surrender to the communication and to each other so that we can have beautiful relationships? And with surrender, I also mean trust the other person and also build that trust towards the other person in our relationships. So I'm just really excited. Just have a listen. See for yourself. Rachel, such a beautiful human being. I cannot wait to share this podcast episode with you. And before we jump right in, please subscribe. Give the episode 5 stars if you like it. I mean, the whole podcast, obviously, there's only that kind of rating going on. As you know, that helps so much. It helps the podcast to be seen. And without further ado, let's dive right in and Rachel will introduce herself. Hi, Rachel. I'm so happy to welcome you here on the Mood Lab podcast. I would just love if you could start with introducing yourself so we get to know you a bit and learn about who you are. So I know that you went down this whole personal journey, obviously, that brought you into working with those modalities, those philosophies and tools, so to speak. So I would love to know a bit more about how you got into all of that and what in life did bring you on this path.
You know, I think that I've always had such a deeply profound curiosity for what life is from the very beginning, and especially like how we tick as human beings. So I had a very early on in my years, an inkling that I was sort of tapped into something maybe perhaps everyone else wasn't. And I think that's, it's circumstantial. You know, I'm blessed to have two exquisite, amazing parents. And so perhaps that gave me more of a foundation of thriving to be able to like get curious about the mysteries of life. And so I recognized at an early age that I was really, really good at making myself happy. And so I was like, okay, I want to help make others happy, right? And that thrust me down so many different avenues, and really a deep curiosity with energetics, because I could, from a very young age, sort of sense that I could affect a room. And I was always like really like entranced by that. I'm like, what is this? And how is it? And I could tell by the inflection of my voice and by the way that I moved my eyes and way that I moved my body, that I could affect people's energies. And this just became sort of like a real infatuation and obsession, and then like a healthy curiosity. So definitely in the beginning years, I did some alienating, some sort of righteous ways of expressing and cutting myself off and denying parts of living my modeling days and sort of insecurities with the body, extreme health issues for most of my childhood and a lot of my teens and 20s. I just became aware of how deeply our internal world affects our external world, and that is a mirror image. You know, and a lot of people talk about it's like a hologram, but it really, really is. And all the basis of all of my work is like the ability to change our perception. And when we do that, our entire known reality changes. And it's just been a point of endless fascination for me.
I really want to, before we dive into all the other things I want to talk about, I would love to talk about this for a moment, because I feel like exactly what you said, so many times we have these struggles or those hardship moments in our life, and then we can kind of apply that to ourselves in terms of being like, okay, something is wrong. But those things can actually propel us forward into the life that we're supposed to live, or into the newer version of ourselves. It can really initiate us, I feel. And I've just recently experienced that with, it was like this moment where someone rejected me, and it was like the weirdest 2 days after, where I was literally, it was like an out of body experience for a moment. And after that, I was like, I didn't feel any of that sadness anymore. I didn't feel any of the pain anymore. It literally just went away, and I came out almost like a new human being. And I didn't even know how that happened. I mean, there were some things that are some indicators and things that I've worked with beforehand and in between and so on. But it was like, okay, wow, this was like such a deep portal that brought me into the person that I'm supposed to be at this point in time. And I'm so grateful for the whole experience. I have no resentment, no shame around this experience, nothing. It's just, I'm just so happy that this initiated me into the person that I'm supposed to be going forward. And I would really love to hear your take on that, because I think there is so much that we need to put our trust into all of that, going deeper into the surrender and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's so beautifully said. And it sort of like actually ties into what you were speaking about just before, which is, you know, it's, I believe this embodied practice, right? And a contraction, of course, that we experience it in our mind, but it happens in our body. It is a physical thing where you feel like, oof, this closure, right? And it sort of brings us again to this programming conditioning that we're just supposed to be sort of like the same forever, which then therefore contradicts that we're like always evolving and we're growing older. Like we're literally changing every single moment, of every single day. That is our natural state and way of being. And so it's bringing us to this opportunity that when moments arise where we feel contracted, it's an initiation, exactly like you said, to up level, right? To decide who, the term that I always like to say is like, when you make a choice in a moment, it is that simple, right? Yes, it's can be feel more complicated, but it is that simple. The choice that you make, whether to react or respond, whether to cave inwards or puff up, whether to meet the moment or deny it, whether to make up a story about who you are based off of being rejected, right? These are all literal choices that create the future expression of who we are, right? And so if we can take a contraction as sort of like this soul indicator that you're given a choice point to decide who you want to become. Are you going to let this moment of rejection, you know, make it mean that you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're all the other stories that come in? And again, it goes back to what I said previously, like I am always for the empowered choice. Like, is this thought making me feel good versus is it making me feel bad? Which again is coming back to embodiment. If I'm choosing a thought that takes me into a story of I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, then that doesn't feel good to my system. And especially like thinking about a contraction in a relationship, it's can feel scary when you're in a contracted moment to say what's really underneath. But when we do say the really vulnerable thing, we immediately feel better.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're owning that we're evolutionary beings and we're growing and we're expanding and we're like cosmic, you know, putty that's being formed by our choices moment to moment. And I believe that contraction is where we get to wield our power of making choices, right? It's like the fire that forms us and wields us. And if we can use contraction as an indicator to reassess, redefine, refine our choices, take rest, you know, our society is so deeply programmed and conditioned us into go, go, go all the time, which is totally not our natural way of being. Sometimes a contraction is just like a moment of rest. You just had a really high moment, which I just had a couple of weeks ago and I've written a ton about, of like really expanded moment. And then your body needs to sort of rest to recalibrate energetically to meet that new level of expansion. And we sort of jump to conclusions really quickly, or stories that take us further back, you know, down this path of like, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy. Which is not supportive or helpful.
I also feel like, especially in relationships or all kinds of relationships, really, when we go through contractions in terms of also, let's say, through relational struggles because we have a misunderstanding or something isn't working out, and going through that in a vulnerable way, really sharing what is deep within us and experiencing hopefully at some point, and I believe that we all get to experience that it's actually safe because we come out at the other end and everything is still fine. I mean, it's possible that we lose a certain person during that time, but it is also possible to get through it with that person. And I do believe to then get to that point of understanding, no matter what really happens, both things are just exactly what is supposed to happen. And I think that's really hard to understand sometimes. And I feel like for me, this is something that, I mean, very naturally just comes with age, I do believe, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, just thinking back to when I was younger, I was always trying to, I don't know, I guess like at least in my mind, trying to force certain situations and kind of already making up stories. And then there was obviously this huge disappointment at the end, and then kind of loosening that up and understanding that no matter how life is going to unfold and no matter how the story is going to weave itself, it's just exactly the way that it's supposed to be. And that gives you so much rest, and that gives also so much space to going through situations that are more of the contracting sort of situations and that are more challenging and maybe not as easy and happy. Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking about specifically, like, I just talked about this the other day with one of my clients, you know, a couple years back, this is maybe like 5 years back, I had a falling out with a very, very close friend, like one of my closest friends. And it was a super incredibly challenging moment. And I experienced a lot of trauma through it. And in a lot of ways, initially when it happened, I was devastated. I was like, why is this happening? And like went against everything I thought was supposed to happen. And now, like you said, and I absolutely agree with you. I think that the older that we become, the wiser we become, we see and more understand why things happen. And I'm so grateful for that time because that relationship taught me boundaries.
Yeah.
And before that, I was very much a people pleaser and a doormat. And I've always been a very loving person. And I've sort of been like, oh, I can take care of myself. So I'm going to let people just do their thing and walk all over me. And this experience shook me so deeply to my core that I have never been the same. And I was like, I'm never going to allow someone to treat me like this ever again. And if I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't have had that level of contrast to therefore make an immense shift in my life and change all of my relationships going forward because of that into a much more positive. I have amazing boundaries now. My boundaries are meticulous. All of my friendships are absolutely phenomenal. All of my relationships across the board, work relationships, my partnership, my family, all of my friendships because of that one extremely devastating moment. So it's like, we don't know, we can't necessarily see in the moment what's this beautiful evolution. And so that's why exactly like you said, being able to really lean into this awareness, like this is happening for a reason. Because yeah. if it wasn't, it wouldn't be happening. And yeah. So just lean into that instead of, you know, and I fully admit to this part of myself, trying to control things, you know, trying to micromanage, try to control the exterior in order for me to feel safe versus really switching the intention of like, how do I calm my own nervous system so that I can handle whatever arises?
Yeah, it's almost like, what is this preparing me for? And obviously in the moment, like no way we can figure that out. It's not possible because we don't know what's going to happen. And it would be, I think it's good that we don't know. I think it's yeah. just beautiful the way it is, like how the journey unfolds. But it's always so beautiful to know that everything that's coming at us or that we are confronted with, that we are already prepared for that. And I think that gives you so much rest within as well, to know that nothing that no challenge or no life situation is going to be too big for us because we are prepared for that. And I think I had this one moment in my life where that became so obvious to me because I know this girl she's been in like our family circle when I was young, and she experienced like devastating loss of her parents. It was so interesting to see her strength in that. And also, I probably have like similar examples in my life. Obviously, I luckily haven't lost any of my parents. But just seeing that there are certain humans and you can really see how they've been prepared for exactly that and how they can handle such a devastating thing. And how you immediately know that if that would have happened to you or someone else, mm-hmm. you would have had a different kind of journey beforehand in order to be prepared for that. Because it's yes. otherwise it's not possible. And I think that's just so humbling. And it also, I feel like since I started to understand that, it just started to give me so much peace. Because often, and I think that's something that, and I've recently talked about this a lot, about this thing of like manifestation, and we're trying to like make everything happen the way that we want it to happen. Mm-hmm. But I was at that point in my life where I really tried that a lot. And I was super into that in a way, because it was also something that was like, it was kind of surrounding me so much. But at this moment, I feel like we are creating and birthing from within, but we cannot hold on to or grip onto the actual final outcome because it's not ours to define. And I think that's so, so important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love if we could go a bit deeper into relating consciously, and because I always feel like obviously relationships and especially romantic relationships, it's just something that we are also interested in because it's something that we all feel like, okay, we need to learn more in this area. And it's something that a lot of us are struggling with, or it's something that I do feel like, let's say I didn't see in my environment how a good relationship could actually look like. Mm-hmm. And it was only when I started to realize, okay, what I'm currently experiencing is not what I'm envisioning for myself, and something in here doesn't seem right, that I started to study that whole area and learn about it. And then I saw so much in the media that didn't resonate with me. So I was kind of like, okay, I need to go on my own path here and see if there's something that resonates. And I would just love to talk about how can we approach relating more consciously and openly, more honestly, and how do we do that? Where do we start?
Well, I love what you just said, and I think that that's actually a great place to start, because again, there's sort of this like sort of energy in the world of like, you are just supposed to follow this path.
Yeah.
Right. You grow up and you get a partner, and then you get married, and then you have kids, and you get a job, and it's just like, it's sort of, life has been planned out for us. And I don't believe that to be true. And I think it's really important for us to lean into creating our own unique blueprint, whatever it may be, relationship, partner-wise, romantically, business-wise, friendship-wise, our life entirely is made to be our own. And I think that the beautiful thing, exactly as you said, is to use contrast as a supportive quality, right? Like, contrast helps us understand what we don't want, so that we can get clear on what we do want. So if you have you're surrounded by relationships that, are not necessarily working in the way that you desire, it's like, okay, great. Now I know what I don't want. Let me understand a little more deeply. What are the characteristics that I'm witnessing here? Okay. They're not listening to each other when they communicate. They're being passive aggressive, right? They're not being honest about what they're really feeling. They're taking each other for granted. All of these qualities are giving you direct feedback to what it is that you do want, right? And I'm, both Johan and I are such advocates for creating your own blueprint when it comes to relationship. And I'm very lucky that I have beautiful parents, and we're our relationship is even beyond that, because we do this for a living, and we're constantly like, how can we get really creative? How can we decide that we're allowed to talk about everything, right? Because it's like, all these things, okay, you're not supposed to talk about those things. You need mystery. And it's like, there's all these sort of supposed to's that block you from our authentic desires. And I believe that that's really what we're doing, helping us get in touch with our authentic desire. It feels really, really good to me to communicate openly and honestly, because I'm an intuitive person and I can feel when people are not communicating openly and honestly. So that's something I knew I wanted. Same for Johan, right? And I think figuring out through that contrast of what's around you, your specifics, and getting clear and writing them down, right? I do that with all my clients. And I believe that every person, for those of you guys who are listening and you're like in the dating, there's nothing wrong with dating. Dating is fantastic. Like, have fun. I don't believe in any sort of one path. It has to be your path, right? I'm not asking anyone to follow my path. I'm guiding you to follow your path. That's what I want, right? And so not everyone is going to, want that exact thing. You need to have fun. You don't want to have pressure when it comes to like meeting the one. And I just had this conversation with my cousin before this. It's like, for both of us, we're very happily married now. Like, when I first met Johan, I wasn't focused on like, is this my one? Is this my partner? I was like, wow, this guy is so amazing. And I'm having so much fun. And I love the way we're communicating. And I love who I am with this person. And I love what comes out of me with this person. And so I want to keep going down this road, right? And I think a lot of times we're still, even though spirituality has become super prevalent in our times, which is amazing, it's still sort of, from my perspective and my experience, like wrapped up in the surface of what it's supposed to look like. I want my king, or I want my queen, or I want to build this empire. And it's like, it takes time. It takes getting to know each other, and it takes growing together. And that is what makes the relationship rich. you know, going through similar to what I said before, there's a lot of sort of stories that like you get with someone. And if you know, you have disagreements, if that's not the right partner, it's like Johan and I have gone through a lot of disagreements. And those are moments that, like we talked about, are contractions that led to these expansions and have been when we've grown together and discovered my preferences and his preferences. And I think that the reoccurring thing for me is I believe in learning communication, co-devotional communication, yeah, conscious communication. I think that that is our deepest, most profound skill that we can have in relationship, and then having a personal practice. And what I mean by that is whatever that is to you, but it is a connection to self where you can regulate your own nervous system and you can become aware of your own patternings and habits and blind spots, most of all, you know, like, so you're not projecting onto your partner or projecting onto the people that you're dating, but you're in an open feedback loop with each other where you're sort of co-creating, because that's really what it's about. It's like, oh, now I have this person that I get to create with. It becomes really, really fun. And recognizing that that is going to be uniquely based off of you and this person. It's going to be also different with every person.
Yeah.
Right. So like taking ourselves out of this automated, supposed to, this is what they, the qualities of a blah, blah, blah. It's like we are all unique. And so therefore our counterpart is going to be unique. And so lean into that. And then once you decide that you want to do that, know that your relationship is also going to be.
I really love this part that you said right at the beginning there, the fact that loving who you are becoming in that relationship, because I feel like, I mean, as an overall thing, because there could be like in between moments of like disagreement, etc. But as if you take like an overall look and you would look at, okay, who am I becoming in this relationship that I'm currently in? I think that is such an important indicator, because it really shows you way more than trying to project anything onto anyone else and being like, oh, he is not the king that I'm envisioning or whatever, or he is not ticking this and that box, because I mean, obviously that doesn't work. So yeah, looking at ourselves and who we are becoming also without any labels of that is just such a beautiful indicator, because it shows us, are we growing? Are we stagnating? Do we like ourselves the way that we are? And I think that is so, so important, because so many times we can get into relationships where, and I mean, this has happened to me in the past, where at some point I realized, oh my God, I'm removing myself from who I actually am, and I'm stopping the things that I love because this person wants to have that time of me. And that is, and I think this is like a big, okay, no, this should not be this way. The way that a relationship can work, or at least I want it to work for myself, is that there is enough space for me to do the things I love so that I can be myself and that I can grow in the person that I'm supposed to be in this world. And then I also think for a relationship, and this kind of aligns with what you said as well, that, and it's kind of not so, I guess, sexy if I say it this way, but it's almost like with a company, you kind of need to have like a shared mission and vision for your relationship. Like, where do you want to go together and what do you want to build or create together? And it doesn't need to mean like build a business or anything. It's just for yourself. Yes. And I feel like that is also almost like laying the groundworks of, because in the end, I mean, this is my understanding of a relationship, is like every day you have to choose the other person. And if there comes one day where you stop choosing the other person, then this relationship will probably stop working. Mm-hmm. And I think for that, you need to have this mission or vision to kind of keep you on that path and on track. So I think that is something so, so valuable and so important to have as a sort of foundation. And then all the things that you said, like conflicts or struggles or disagreements, etc., they aren't as big in that picture, I do believe. So, yeah.
I love what you said. And you sort of actually put it into this beautiful sort of sequence or system, which is, and I totally agree with you, is it's a great indicator. And like for taking Johan, for example, the person that I was becoming through that relationship is like my spiritual practice immediately deepened because he had a very strong spiritual practice. Like we were eating really healthy. We were going for like tons of hikes. We were working out together. We were doing yoga together. We were having a lot of fun, and I was being surrounded by a lot of people who were, you know, in the same energy that I was craving, right? I was surrounded by all these incredible, you know, and it was like, oh, this is exactly what I had just written down in my journal of what I want for my life, right? And then I absolutely agree. And I think it's actually, let's rebrand it. I think it's very sexy to sort of have like a common, is like known values of where our life is going. And that is something that Johan and I definitely have. And I think is one of the reasons why our relationship has always thrived so beautifully. It's like, we've always loved to travel. We've been traveling all over the world since the very beginning of our relationship, right? So these common threads that happened at the beginning are still super present almost 11 years in. It's like, we're still deep in our spiritual practice. We're still traveling all over the world. Health and wellness is at the forefront. Growth mindset, talking, communicating, putting each other first. Like, it's a through line that's kept our relationship getting better and better and better. And so I think it's actually a wonderful system for those listeners out there to sort of really think about, like, what is it that you want your life to look like? And I think it's also kind of a great indication. That's something I often work with women who are like, okay, I want to attract my partner. I'm like, well, do the things that you would do with your partner now, like live the life. That's what attracted me to Johan. It was, I just moved to LA and I left New York and I sort of left sort of, you know, the bar scene, the clubbing scene. And I was really big into yoga. So when I went to LA, I didn't fall into the normal trap of going out. I was going and doing things that were really interesting to me and trying out new experiences. And that's it literally step by step led me to him. And so it was just, it was natural progression on my path, and our paths just like sort of easily aligned. So I love that. I think it's an absolutely great insight.
I mean, yeah, it kind of aligns with like the thing that you would always hear growing up, go to the places where you do things that you love, right? And in order to be able to do that, you need to figure that out. So it's like, yeah, okay, go on that journey, figure out what you like and what you don't like. And it only needs to be a snapshot of that moment. It doesn't need to be you in like 10 years. It just needs to be you today. So, and then you naturally gravitate towards people that align with you. And I think we often discredit that and we're like, oh, this doesn't happen. But like, I can actually see it in my life. It's happening. So it's beautiful to be in those places and then meet people that resonate so deeply with you and also see, and I think that's something that I've also just started experiencing the past year, the more that I unfolded within myself and the more that I learned to value myself, I saw how it happened around me that the men in my life, just friends, how they started to treat me with so much respect as well. And I think, yeah, just such a beautiful indicator of that, of being on the right path. And I think that's also how we can go through life, just seeing how all those people around us reflect that as we go. I would love if we could go. So if we talked about contraction already, but if we feel like wanting to close and because there is a situation that's just very tough and things that we are going through and we kind of just want to close and we just want to move away from that experience instead of moving through. Like, what are your thoughts on actually being able to move through it? How can we hold ourselves while we move through something that is so hard? And it obviously can be in a relationship, but I'm just thinking about it can also be like moving out of one job into a new one or just like letting something go that you've been holding on to for so long. What are some of the things that you would think about or would do yourself maybe even or recommend to hold ourselves in a way that moves us through that?
I think it's a great question. And I think that the first sort of thing to become aware of is that when we're experiencing some sort of contraction, you know, it's leading us to a place of deep vulnerability, right? And so it's, I think it's the, that's why contractions are so important, right? So it's, we can learn how to be with ourselves when we're extremely vulnerable. And again, it's bringing us up against this sort of programming that vulnerability is weakness, right? Which is like, ooh, I'm not going to show this part of me because it's not, I don't deem it acceptable. And so it's, I think that work right there, us with that part of us, is some of the most pivotal work that we can do, right? Like, how do we be with that tender, raw, exposed part and dissect the stories, right? The normal sort of stories that come in are, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable. And then how do we like shift them out of like the story that isn't real or true, because we are all good enough and lovable and those things, and get to the real truth, which is probably something like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Right. And that actually, I'm scared, is, can be a really empowering thing, because it just means, oh, I'm witnessing this part of me that's like afraid that I'm not going to be able to, you know, find another job, you know? And it's like, okay, when you're in that, then you can meet it with the other part of you that's like, yes, you can do this. You can do that. Which is like, I believe in training ourselves in doing like hard things or challenging things, because then when challenging things arise, you know what to do. So it's like similar to what I expressed before, like training our nervous system and being our own advocate and our own cheerleader and our own best friend. Or for some of us, like that's the moment that we reparent ourselves, you know, to learn to stand up and know that like we're so powerful and so strong and so resilient. Like our natural basis of being is resiliency. Like we are just resilient by nature, and how that gets, you know, amplified is by working with that energy and knowing that, like, you know, you get a cut on your arm, it heals.
True.
It's just, it's what happens, you know. It's like we learn how to walk. We learn, like, I have no idea how to use a computer. None of us knew what the internet was, and now we're using it. And so it's just getting into like that sort of training mode. I love that space. I sort of dwell in that space consistently. I'm a voracious learner, and I think that the I'm going to give a few tools. My favorite tool is always breath work. Pyramid breath is the breath work that my husband created. I do it every day. I've done it every day for 7 years. It's just, I can't express the profundity of it enough, because it's not rigid. It's not this dogmatic practice. It's fun. It's playful. It's wild. It's weird. It allows you to be messy, to be joyous. It's deeply embodied, and it really lets you work with the energy of the moment. So there are days when I'm upset. Okay, I can do that in my practice. There's days when I'm like totally ecstatic. I can do that in my, there's days when I'm super sexually turned on. I can do that in my practice. So it allows you to work with expanding your energetic frequency to hold all of our emotions. So like first and foremost, that, right? Getting to know, and that's a space where doing the breath work and then moving into meditation, you are noticing your patterns, you're noticing your habits, you're noticing where you're in automation, the beliefs and stories that you're running, and therefore the actions that are being created from that. Are those empowering or those disempowering? And then the other tool that I think is so great and important is humor and play. And it's why, you know, I'm an actor by trade for so much of my life, and I do so much of that in my work. I love playing because it gives us permission to be silly and to mess up and to look stupid and to redefine what that means. I've redefined that when we look silly or stupid or mess up, that means that I'm learning something new. And so I'm no longer scared of that moment or that hiccup. I'm learning in that process. That is a process of acquiring contrast so that I can refine and redefine my next move going forward. And so I believe when we bring that into our growth mindset, it's super supportive for us, you know, to like take the edge off this contraction of like, okay, I've contracted right now. I feel very, very vulnerable. Maybe the belief that I have underneath, a part of me is believing that if I leave this relationship, I'm never going to find anyone else. Right. And so it's like, okay, let me deal with that first and foremost. The truth is, another tool that I love to use is I forgive myself for buying into the belief that I'm never going to find anyone that will match me. When the truth is, this person and this experience is getting me super clear on what it is that I actually want and how it is that I want to be in relationship and what it is that I want to be reflected in relationship. And so therefore, I'm going to get back out there. And so I'm going to go to, get on a dating site, or I'm going to go to a blind date. And if you go in there and you sort of stumble over your words, instead of being like, oh my God, you're like, wow, I'm really nervous right now because, and that breaks the seal, right? It's like you're in on it together. Or the same with the job. And I love that you brought that up because I think that's so present, because we're in this new way of being where we're sort of, we've let go of so much of like the normal way of being in career, which is so awesome, and creating our own new career. And they're on that path, you are going to mess up. It's just like, it's a natural way of being. You're going to make mistakes, and mistakes help clarify how to move forward. And so when we shift our mindset to that, everything that happens is like, it's feedback, it's information. It's like, it's a new like toolkit to mold this expression. And like, I've gone through so many ups and downs, specifically in my own career, which is why I have so much fun doing what I'm doing, because I'm not like abiding by an invisible rule book of what we're supposed to do. I get to be constantly evolving, and people, scientists, all of the people that we deeply admire, all these done incredible things, they have quote unquote fucked up countless times. That's what keeps them going. And the biggest thing that we can do, besides, I believe, having our own practice, is learning to shift our mindset around those moments. Instead of seeing it as an obstacle, it's an opportunity.
Yeah. And it's through those trials and errors, or the obstacles, if it's not an error, it really is that which creates that muscle memory, even in play, even if it's not like a real situation, maybe because we do it like in an acting class, for example. It helps so much, like knowing that, oh, I can actually find solutions. And sometimes in those situations, it's actually so healthy to become a bit of a realist, like really being like, oh wait, I'm thinking like, I'm not gonna find another person because this relationship just ended. Wait, there's so many billions of people on this earth, and there's not just one person out there for me. So like, why am I worrying? Obviously, in this moment, it might be hurtful, etc. But then if we came across that, getting into that realist mindset, also with like jobs, being like, okay, I can try myself, because at one point I could literally be like, well, this didn't work, I can find another job again if I need to, right? It's not that there's nothing out there for us, and that we basically fall into nothingness. It's not what happens. And that can be so often a feeling that we carry inside, right? It's like that daunting feeling of, oh, mm-hmm. I'm so scared and I'm so not safe. Yes. And I think the most important thing there is really to learn that safety within us, and to create that within us. And that can look so different, and with so many different paths that we can take with that.
Yeah.
In terms of knowing, okay, actually in all of those situations that I experienced before, I was able to rely on myself, so I can rely on myself again. Or like you said as well, with like breath work and all those things that are so healthy for our nervous system, and that just create such a beautiful foundation. So I think that's so valuable that we talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think to what you said, which I think is such a great point, is like to be able to differentiate, the difference between I'm sad right now and just letting ourselves be sad, and then the story that wants to come with it, which is this must mean something's wrong.
Yeah.
No, it's like, it just means you're sad, and we're entitled to feel sad. Like we're entitled to have moments. Like our emotions are beautiful, powerful, amazing things. They can just be that. It's really the stories that tend to spiral us downwards. And that's the, the awareness that we can really train as a muscle to notice when we start getting into story land, because the stories will automatically make us not feel good.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just an indication to I believe in being in training for the rest of our lives. I'm a forever student. There is no end result I'm looking for, because there isn't one. You know, so let us be in discovery, and therefore then everything that we're working with, no matter what it is for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I so resonate with that. I just want to dive into one last topic before we go to the very last question that I always ask on here. And it's one of my favorite topics actually as well. It's about intimacy. And I feel like I've seen you talk about this a lot. And I think this was one of the things that I actually started following you for at some point. And I mean, I feel like there's so much pressure around intimacy, and mm-hmm. we often can feel like there's so much portrayed on the media, how it should look like and how we should relate to our partners. And then there's this whole discovery of, oh wait, my idea of sexuality or sensuality is kind of different. Or, I mean, for me, for many years, I was like, I don't even know how to look sensual. Like I'm in a facial expression or something, because I was seeing that on the media and I was thinking I would need to portray something specific. And then I would see those movies where they would be like, oh, this girl, she did never sleep with someone before, so she doesn't know how that looks like. And everything is kind of like, this whole story is woven in that way, that at some point when you realize, oh, my sensuality, my sexuality, they're so different to what, for example, this other girl is doing or how she's experiencing that. And then you could be like, oh, wait, am I wrong now? And I think it's something so important to talk about and to unfold that it's like not that linear. I think you talk beautifully about that. So I would love to hear your perspective on that and your experience.
Yeah, I so, so, so deeply resonate. And I think this is such a great and important subject, because it's again, the conditioning that we're all been brought up is like, you're supposed to know exactly how to do it. And you're supposed to know exactly what you like and what you're doing and who, you know, how to express it. And I believe that is such a falsity. And I was just expressing this just like today. It's like, when I was younger, I had so much projection onto me that because of the way that I looked, I was supposed to know exactly what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing, which was then therefore all of this pressure to try to meet a standard that I didn't understand. And I think that the number one thing to work with is that the media is showing you a fraction of what our sexual and sensual expression is. Number one, right? They're showing you like pornography is entertainment. It has nothing to do with the reality of what real sex looks like. Maybe there's fractions of it, but it is not all encompassing. And same with movies. You know, it's like, you see, you're sort of like in a movie, you meet someone and it's like, you're immediately like, and you like, then you have an orgasm like 5 seconds later. It's like, that can happen when there's lots of built up tension, but like, why is that happening? Again, those are things that no one is really talking about. Okay, you can have likely an orgasm very quickly when you've built up tension over time. There's all of this fuel and polarity in place. You've been like stroking each other's erotic muscles for days and days and days, or weeks and weeks, if not months and months, the way that a movie is portraying it. And so in that moment, you have all this built up energy, and of course, it's going to happen faster. In the day-to-day life, it's totally different. And so I think it's really important to, similar to what we've been talking about, is to be aware of your own dialogue, be aware of your own belief systems. I think this is one of the most powerful things that we can consistently work on in ourselves as human beings, is like, what do you believe and how is that belief serving you or enslaving you, right? And sexuality is so nuanced. And I really deeply believe that it is a, like everything else, a muscle that we are training. And our pleasure expands over time. And who I am sexually now is totally different than who I was a year ago. And even more different who I was 5 years ago. And it continues to expand, because pleasure is, and our sexuality is an endless portal. You could never reach the end of your own desires, because it's like desire begets desire. It just expands and expands and expands. And there's, now let's go specifically into intimacy. Again, we're sort of operating from this supposed to way of being. Okay, when you meet the right person, then you have amazing chemistry and you're supposed to have sex every single day. And this is what it's supposed to look like. And then when you get into that and it's not happening, you're like, what's wrong with me? No, there's nothing wrong with you, my loves. There's nothing wrong with you. This is just an opportunity for you to be curious and to explore and to explore with yourself. First and foremost, I'm a huge advocate of getting to know your own pleasure. You know, I just posted, I don't remember who it was. If you don't learn how to fuck yourself first, you shouldn't be trying to fuck someone else. Like, get to know your own pleasure versus thinking, which a lot of us do or think, is like, my pleasure comes from someone else. No, it is created by you. So spend some time getting to know what you like. What touches feel good to you? Do you like it slow, fast? There's different rhythms. And then the expression of when you're working with another person or other people is like, we all have different sexual styles, sexual blueprints, sexual seasons, right? There can be times in a relationship where, you know, your partner is in his summer season and I'm in my winter season. There doesn't mean there's anything wrong. And the only way that that can become detrimental is when we don't learn about it, right? Yeah. Then we're support. It's like, you know, people get sick. Well, you're going to like demand, oh, my partner's sick and they're not having sex with me. It means they don't love me or they're not turned on by me, because we create all those stories. So it's like, I really like to think of everything as like this like giant university, right? The universe city. You know, where it's opportunity to grow and expand, especially our sexuality and our sensuality, and to give ourselves the liberty, the permission, and the patience, right? Patience, and I should say tenderness, compassion, gentleness, because sexuality is very vulnerable. There's a lot of shame that comes with it. There's a lot of taboo. Again, programming, conditioning is very strong. And so we're thinking it's supposed to be one way. And then if we have a different desire, we're thinking, am I wrong or bad? And that's why it's so important to be around sex positive communities. And what I mean by sex positive is the ability to talk about sex, to talk about sexuality, to talk about our desires, our preferences, and without the need to do anything past that, just to be in communication and to explore. There's all these amazing quizzes. You know, I think Jaya's erotic blueprint quiz is phenomenal. I give that to like all of my clients. That was when Johan and I did that. That was a huge breakthrough, like halfway in our relationship, and reading Esther Perel and all of these amazing.
She's great.
she's amazing. And it's like, don't put your sexuality into a box, because it doesn't belong in there. It's ever expanding. It's natural state is to evolve. And do your best to support your nervous system by transforming your thoughts away from disempowering into empowering, to get, you know, and then also you'll start to see, like, if you're engaging with someone who's shaming your sexuality, my best piece of advice there is, number one, don't take it on, because it's very likely that they're just projecting their own shame onto you, you know, and sometimes that can be like a definite deal breaker, we're out of the relationship, or it could just be that you've hit someone's vulnerable spot. And just recognize that sexuality is vulnerable. People's egos are in the way. You feel insecure. I don't really know what I'm doing. Something that Johan and I always say, because we're always in this expansion, is like, we give each other permission to make mistakes when we're trying something new, you know, and like to kind of be clunky and fumble, and like it maybe doesn't work exactly the way we want to. And we don't let that stop us. We just let that be a moment of refinement. Okay, like, I really liked that. That worked. That wasn't really my style. So maybe we can try it like this. It's like learning any new skill and sexuality. It's the same with, like, when you learn to ride a bike, the end all be all isn't just riding your bike down the street. You know, you can do, you know, you see the people who go to the Olympics, like doing flips and things. Like, there's so much you can do with all of these skills. It just takes training, and it takes willingness, and it takes curiosity. And it also takes, you know, being okay with messing up along the way and not making that mean anything about you and who you are.
Yeah, there's so much goodness in what you just said. And also just some things that I wanted to point out in the things that you just said is like the thing of, at least that's how it came across for me, is that if you have a new partner, then you have some experiences before that, but every new person that you would have sexual encounters with is like a completely new experience. And
new instrument.
It truly is. It's so, so different. And that's why what you said with that we need to explore ourselves, we need to know our own bodies so that we can also teach the other person and the other person can teach us. I think that is like obviously the groundworks and then all the communication that needs to go along with that. And then giving space to what you just said, mess up, try together and like explore together and learn together. Because, yeah, it can be so different depending on if you're with a different person, for example. And then, yeah, and then just going on that path together, I think. And also, again, it, no matter what you hear from the outside, literally going with your experience and not taking any of those other experiences as your, okay, this is where I need to be, or this is how this needs to look like, because it's never going to be that way. It's just going to be different because it's for you. And what I think, and I'm always so, it just like sparks my curiosity in general, is the, that when I think about it, how little we as a society have talked about this part of our lives, even though it is such a huge, and we said that, I think even in the beginning, it's like such a huge part. It is so, it's so, so much of who we are. And no matter what kind of, even if we have a certain religion or a certain belief system or anything, like at some point we're getting to that point where this becomes part of our lives. And then there's no rule book for that. There is no guidebook for that. There is nothing. And if we don't allow ourselves to talk openly about that and like you said, become sex positive or be surrounded by people who are openly talking about that, I think, yeah, if we don't have that, that just like kind of keeps us confined to that exploration. And I think that exploration is actually the beauty of it, because it can allow us to experience things, yeah, that are just, I guess, like experiencing new things, to put it that way. Yeah.
Which is like, it's what we want as well. It's like all of us want to have exciting sex. We want it to be passionate and feel good. And so therefore it's like anything that you do over and over and over again, if you do the same thing over and over again, it becomes boring. That's why it's important to keep being curious. You know, it's like cooking in the kitchen. That's why you find new ingredients and you find new recipes and you switch it up. And of course you have your things that you are like your go-tos, like, you know how to make a great fried chicken. That's great. But then sometimes
the
you're like,
comfort zone. Yeah.
Yeah. Comfort zone. Exactly. Or make a pizza, but then you experiment and it's like, can we really give ourselves permission to keep on evolving?
Yeah. And I think that applies to all of life. So I think that is a good like final word in that sense. But there's one more question that I ask everyone on here, and it's, is there one thing that you wish more humans would know about and that touches you deeply? Can be anything related to what we said or something that's completely out there.
I'll say two things. I think one is breathwork, finding a breath practice, breath meditation practice that's fun and playful and that you can do daily. This is like, it's the most life-changing thing for me. And I've been doing it for years and years and years. And it's just such a natural reset of our system. And when we don't have to externalize support, when we can internalize our own support, it's so empowering. And then the other thing that I think is like not as widely spoken about, which is acupuncture. I wish everyone in the world could do acupuncture. Because between acupuncture and my daily practice, like, and, you know, exercise, I should say, those are the things that keep me really connected to my center core. And I think for a lot of us, acupuncture can be accessed through our health insurance. And it's such an incredible tool to reset our nervous system instead of like getting into the deeper realms of, you know, sort of putting a bunch of stuff in our system when like just our body knows how to heal itself when we give it the space to do so.
Yeah, That is so powerful, and I so believe in that. I love both of the tools that you shared. I do daily breath work as well, and I think it's so, so powerful. And acupuncture, yeah, I've done as well, so I do think it's a great tool, especially to like drop into your body and have some time for yourself, for sure. It's so important. Thanks. We all do too little of that, I do believe.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that beautiful wisdom of yours with us. And yeah, I'm just really, really grateful that we were able to have this conversation and feel so honored to talk to you. I would love if you could just tell everyone where they can find you if they love this conversation as well, which I do believe, so that they can seek you out.
Yes, thank you so much. I also super enjoyed this conversation, and I'm happy that more people get to have this information. So for those of you who want to go deeper, you can find me on Instagram. It's Positive Pringle, positive like the energy, Pringle like the potato chip, minus the S, that is my last name.
Yeah.
You can find me at iamrachelpringle.com. And I have lots of resources and lots of free resources on my Instagram and containers. And I love to do the work. And my husband and I work all over Europe. So come find me, come get into a class, come meet me online. And let's go deeper.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.